silent song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. For wrong shall fail, the right prevail.
Welcome, everyone. Am I on now? So just want to welcome everybody. We're so glad that you could join us this evening as we gather to celebrate the birth of Christ. But as we gather, we want to be mindful that... Oh, hold on. It is on. Go yellow. All right. To celebrate the birth of Christ, we also want to be mindful for the purpose for which he came. And so to open the service, I just want to read a few passages to draw our attentions to one of the themes or pictures of Christ, and that is as the Lamb of God. And so first from Isaiah chapter 53, starting in verse 4, Isaiah writes, "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell on him. And by his scourging, we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth." The theme is picked up again in the Gospel of John, when John the Baptist introduces Christ, saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And Peter carries this theme when he says in 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 17, "If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." Finally, in the book of Revelation, beginning in chapter 5, Revelation, from then to the end of the book, refers to Christ as the Lamb 31 times. So I want to finish by reading from Revelation chapter 5, the scene in the throne room, where John writes, "I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. Then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals." And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing, as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever.'" Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we gather tonight to worship the miracle of the incarnation, the coming of Christ humbly as an infant, let us also behold the Lamb of God who poured out his blood in our place, bearing our sin in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And this evening, Lord, as we worship in music and scripture, Lord, may our hearts be filled with the worship that we've seen in the throne room of heaven in the book of Revelation. May we cry with them, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and glory and blessing and honor." And so, Lord, we commit our evening to you, and we pray these things in Christ our Savior. Amen.
Now see the light of morning, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, a child to us is born. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away our sin.
Died and rose.
who takes away our sin. Behold the Lamb of God, the life and light of men. Behold the Lamb of God, who died and rose again.
I'm reading from Luke chapter 1, beginning of verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement, and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Adore Christ the Lord, our hope and Savior. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, where Christ was born in Bethlehem in fulfillment of prophecy out of Micah chapter 5. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
We would ask, would you please stand and sing with us this evening?
Young Virgin Mother. Remain standing for the reading of God's word from Luke chapter 2, continuing in verse 8 through 21. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angel had gone away from them, angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. And when 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
Would you please continue singing with us?
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Join the triumph.
beset with gold and jewels rare. She yet were far too poor to be a nest.
It's always such a privilege to gather on a Sunday night and to hear the glorious gospel just spoken in music and in the reading of scripture. So I hope that you've seen or heard a theme as we've been going through all this tonight. There's the connection between Christ's birth and his death. And that is the reality of Christmas, that Christ came to die. He didn't come to create a holiday, as someone has said. He came to rescue sinners. This is, of course, the message of the gospel. This is the message of Christmas. And if we don't make that connection between the manger and the cross, we really miss the heart of Christmas. And so really the theme tonight is that Christ was born to die. And there's a marvelous text that brings these two realities together. You're familiar with it. It's a very well-known text. It's Philippians chapter 2. And there, Paul uses Jesus as an illustration of humility. It's the only place in Scripture where Jesus is used as an illustration, and he's used as an illustration of humility. And as you read this text, you hear one condescension after another of Jesus stooping, and then stooping lower, and then stooping even lower yet to rescue sinners. Listen to this, and we'll briefly explain it as we go. Verse 6, although he existed in the form of God, Jesus did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. He existed in the form of God, which means he is God. He was God. Before Christ entered this world in Bethlehem, he existed. He didn't start existing at his birth. He always has existed. He's the eternal God. And this is the glory of the incarnation, that the eternal God stepped into time. And Paul makes this very clear, that he existed in the form of God. He is fully God, fully divine. He is co-eternal with God, the second person of the Trinity, existing in the very form of God himself. And yet, listen to the next phrase, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. It was all his. He had all the rights and the privileges of God. Because he is God, he was God. He had all the privileges that come with being a part of the Trinity. God, Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in perfect harmony and perfect relationship before the world ever began. They didn't need anything. They didn't lack anything. Jesus could have kept his position there. He had every right to. And yet Paul says he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, meaning he gave up the full expression of his position. He didn't give up his godness. He didn't give up his divinity. He didn't become less God. Paul says he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. He was willing to forgo his rights and privileges at the position that he held. Notice clearly, though, he did not give up his divinity. He gave up the full expression of it. This is what Paul means in verse 7, where he says, "But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men." Here's the first or second step down. Number one, he understands equality with God is not something for him to hang on to. That's the first stoop down. Then he comes down even further. And he says, "I'll willingly give up the expression of this position to become a man." He emptied himself. Normally, we associate that with subtraction, that something leaves. And in this reality, that's not how we need to think about it. Christ emptied himself not by subtraction. He emptied himself by addition, because he added humanity to his deity. You say, how is that an emptying? It's an emptying because how in the world do you take the eternal God and put him in a body? Something has to be, in a sense, limited. Something has to be veiled. This is the glory of the incarnation, that when God humbles himself and stoops down to our level to become one of us, something has to be veiled. He doesn't give up his divinity. He doesn't give up his divine nature. He willingly restricts the full expression and exhibition of his deity. So suddenly, 2,000 years ago, deity is fused with humanity. This is the hypostatic union, the union of God and man in one person. Staggering. Do you see? He's condescending. He's stooping down. He's continuing to come down to our level. This is the greatest condescension the world has ever known, the coming of God in human flesh, 100% God, 100% man, united in one individual, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then read verse 8. "But being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Remember our theme, born to die. He humbles himself by becoming one of us. Then he stoops even lower to become obedient to the point of death. He comes knowing fully that he's going to be subject to wicked men who are going to kill him and murder him. And that's exactly what happens. He dies at the hands of wicked men. But he's not done stooping. It says he comes down not just to death, but death on a cross. The most ignominious, disgraceful, humiliating way anyone could die. Today, sometimes we wear crosses around our necks as a piece of jewelry. You know what that would be like? It'd be like wearing a electric chair around your neck as a piece of jewelry. He stoops and he stoops and he stoops and he stoops to the most humiliating, disgraceful, horrific, painful death that anyone could experience. Galatians 3:13, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." This is what he did. He kept condescending and he kept condescending and he kept condescending to rescue us. Listen to someone's description of the incarnation. "The incarnation is the preparation of nerve endings for the nails. The incarnation is the preparation of a brow for thorns to press through. He needed to have a broad back so that there was a place for the whip. He needed to have feet so that there was a place for spikes. He needed to have a side so that there was a place for the sword to go in. He needed to have cheeks, fleshly cheeks, so that Judas would have a place to kiss. And there would be a place for the spit to run down that the soldiers put on him. He needed a brain and a spinal column with no vinegar or no gall, so that the exquisiteness of the pain could be fully felt for you and for me. He was born to die, God in human flesh. And as Christ hung on the cross, all of God's full wrath and hatred of sin was poured out upon our Savior in our place. You see, if you don't connect the birth to his death at Christmas, you really have no connection to Christmas. So Christ was born once so that we could be born twice. So the question I want to pose to you tonight is, have you been born again? Have you been saved? Have you been forgiven? Have you experienced the grace of Christ? Have you come to a point where you've recognized you're a sinner in need of a Savior, under God's wrath, under God's judgment, under his condemnation for your sin? And do you know and realize that you deserve hell, as all of us do, as every single person does, because we have broken God's law? And yet, do you understand God's gift? The sending of his only begotten Son to take our place, to rescue us. Have you repented of your sin? Have you placed your trust in Christ? Have you come to know this precious, glorious Savior that we are singing about tonight? If you haven't, you don't understand Christmas. And if you do, you know what Christmas is all about. So, this is the glory of the incarnation. And we want to boldly and unashamedly proclaim that to you. That's why we're here. That's why we do this. That's why our church exists. We're not going to soft pedal it. The reality is we all need a Savior. We all need rescuing. And the only way is for Christ to come, take our sins, rise from the dead, and give life to all who place their trust in him. We just sung it a moment ago, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. So do you know this Christ? We trust that you do. If you don't, we would love nothing more than to introduce this Savior to you so you could be free from sin, given a new heart and a new life, so you could really know what Christmas is about. Pray with me. Father, thank you for Christ. We don't want to miss him in the busyness. We don't want to gloss over the true meaning of this remarkable reality. And so, Lord, press these truths deep into our heart again. Remind us of our sin. Remind us that all of us have nails in our pocket that put your Son on the cross. And remind us afresh of what we would be without him. And let us this Christmas season tell others and talk to others and rejoice with others about this marvelous reality. And Lord, if there are some here tonight who are listening who don't know you, draw them to yourself. Open their eyes. Remove their heart of stone. Replace it with a heart of flesh. And bring them perhaps for the first time into a saving relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we love you. We thank you for your condescension. And we praise you for the new life that is ours because of your Son. It's his precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, would you please stand and continue singing with us?
Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth, thou art dear desire. To see thee, they What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthem sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping?
be seated.
Going to be reading through the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he may break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he may become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this great time that we've had this evening. We thank you, Lord, that you have been pleased to share your Son with us by sending him to earth at this special time of year that we celebrate. But yet, as has been pointed out over and over again, you sent him so that he may pay the ultimate price to become the penalty for our sins so that we may have his righteousness. Lord, it's something that we don't deserve. We're thankful for. And we thank you that you freely gave of your Son so that we may share an eternal life with you. God, we thank you for the time that we've had this evening. Thank you for the time that we can celebrate this special event together. And Lord, we just pray that as we go through this week and the following week, that we just don't forget the meaning of Christmas. It's not about the presents. It's not about all the fun, the joy that we can have. It's about the celebration of your Son and what he has done on our behalf. Lord, thank you, and ask your blessing upon this week and this special time of year. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming tonight, but as we normally do at this time, we have special appreciation for a lot of the people that keep this church going, right? So we are going to give our special Christmas gifts to everybody that has had that ministry throughout the year. And I'll be honest with you, I do not know if everybody is here tonight. So if they're not here, they lose it. No, not really. Anyway, so we have for people that, you know, we have all these people that work out through the staff with the janitorial and other things, and a lot of things that go on behind the scenes here that keep everything going and moving smoothly here. So we're very thankful for them. But we have on the janitorial staff, you had Abigail and Emily Brunswick. I don't know if they are here. If not, it'll be in their box. Jamie and Rick Seinkomb. Don't see them. I think they're gone, but I do know that my daughter Rachel is here. So she is here. Come on up, Rachel. And then also Todd, her husband, who helps out with all the music and everything. So Todd, so there you go. Thank you for your ministry. Yeah. Well, Rachel.
And Todd.
Oh, yeah. Stay on up here. Rachel likes to be up front. So Stephen Savas, is he here? Stephen is our intern, so he's been doing a marvelous job, by the way. We have been very thankful for his ministry and service that he has and also is in TES, so it's been great. Pastoral staff, you all know who they are, right? Pastor Todd, Bob, and Dale, and Matt, if you could come up. They have a special thank you for you guys.
Thank you.
And also, we celebrated that this morning with Paula's retirement, but yet we still have a Christmas gift for her, too. So, Paula, if you're here, so thanks. So, this is our team that has done quite a bit through the year, and we're just thankful how the Lord has used them. So, you know, come and wish them a happy Christmas and thank them for all their service. And then we are going downstairs, right, for the refreshments. So everybody's dismissed. You just head on down there and have a great evening. Thank you for coming.